There are almost as many theories about learning and or not learning as there are people who want to learn. The range extends from Tolman's complex formulas to Plato's assertion that learning consists solely of discovering what we already know. We'll look at the learning experiences that are based on study and examine clear-cut factors that can reduce or prevent their success. Two major factors are low self-esteem and lack of motivation. Additional factors are poor study habits, poor memory, absence of reward, medicine and drugs, and fear. To get an accurate picture of your learning problem, examine each contributing factor. Think about which ones may relate to your specific learning experience. Poor study habits involve both internal and external conditions. Internally, your sense of how to manage your time or how to bear down and concentrate may be poorly defined and difficult to put into action. This results in an unnecessary drain on your energy and emotions. For example, if you have an exam, a progress report, research to do for a lecture, a sales pitch, any act of learning that requires preparation and some semblance of organization, you can transform it into a traumatic, self-punishing experience by delaying it. If instead you did the task in small increments before your deadline, your task would be considerably easier. Time management is not a complex, tedious process. It simply involves breaking your whole project into workable segments. You can do this with any block of material. The information to be learned for the bar exam, the research necessary for your annual report, the work of three novelists that you need to study for your oral exams in 20th century literature. Your learning module can be compared to an ice cube that you cannot easily ingest as a swallowed whole. But broken into pieces, it goes down very easily. The external factors of poor study habits have to do with the physical location of your study area and your association with it. A psychologist working with students who have poor study habits found that when the students followed these three rules, their learning experience was greatly improved. Number one. Designate one particular location for study and use that location consistently. Number two, eliminate any external distractions. Number three, leave the location as soon as you are no longer able to concentrate. Hypnosis can directly help with the last two factors. Some external distractors will never be easy or even possible to eliminate. Your housemate's squawking parrot or the stereo of Big Bad George down the hall are examples. But you can learn to use hypnosis to block out sounds. Of course, if your external distractions are your baby, your spouse, or someone else close to you, then you need to settle on a study schedule that coincides with the time you are not involved in that person's routine. But you can't expect the people in your life to come and go as you please. You need to construct a cooperative plan of action that deprives neither party of his or her writes, "The last rule, which deals with leaving your study area when your concentration has dissipated, can be regulated by specifying a time frame for your activity. This involves designating a starting and stopping time that corresponds to your normal attention span, and then working within those limits. If, for example, you allow yourself condensed study time in the morning, you may stipulate in your post-hypnotic suggestion that you begin at 8:30 in the morning and stop at 12 o'clock noon. Without a time limit, you could program yourself for exhaustion. On the other hand, don't stay bound to your stopping time if you can no longer concentrate. When you can't focus your attention on the material, it is time to quit and leave the location. This practice will permit your association with the study area to remain a positive one. You will view it as a productive place where you can succeed at what you are doing. If you find it a problem to retain and recall what you have studied, you are one of a large group of individuals who has some degree of difficulty with memorization. We all have three types of memory, which seem to represent three separate compartments in our brains. The first one of these, sensory memory, involves remembering the way something looks, smells, or feels. The second, motor skill memory, involves remembering how to perform a physical activity, skiing, riding a bike, diving, or dancing. The third type includes words, ideas, and concepts. It consists of everything that you have ever thought, heard, or read. The first two memory types are far more retentive than the type that deals with words, ideas, and concepts, which is, of course, the one which plays the most vital role in academic learning. To make this compartment of your memory function to its fullest, there are several simple procedures that can assist you in both retention and recall of the material, regardless of the specific nature of the material. Number one, self-testing. As you read through, think through, or listen to the material, stop and ask yourself what the content is and recite the major points silently to yourself or aloud. If you can't recite them, go back to those key points and review them. The process of immediate review is more effective than rereading the entire assignment again. Number two, periodic review. An overall review at the end of the learning assignment should be done within a short time after the material has been studied or committed to memory. Reviewing often and for short periods of time will contribute to long-term memory of the material. A long, extended, torturous cramming session has less effectiveness in terms of successful retention. Number three, break between tasks. It has been proven that it is easier to retain two blocks of material if there is a break or rest between the two tasks than if the learning tasks follow one on the other. The assumption is that prior learning can interfere with new learning and that the mind needs time to absorb the prior material before it is presented with new information. You would not, for example, study for your psychology exam and then begin to memorize your lines for the community play. Number 4. Use sleep as a sealer. At first glance, this information looks like great news for those who want an excuse for putting their heads down on their law books and taking a snooze. The fact is, you will be more likely to retain information that is followed by a night's sleep than you will be to retain information you've committed to memory immediately before beginning your daily activities. Some theories also make a connection between dreaming and affective memory. It is thought that the dream acts as a straining device that filters out material that is unnecessary to the major objective. In your lifetime, you will be able to store billions of bits and pieces of information, some large and some small. For example, your private storage bank will hold more than 50,000 words. Some of these are easily obtainable. Others may have to be searched for, but they are all available. Facilitating any process of retention is the meaningfulness of the material to be learned. Studies have shown that people given lists of actual words commit them to memory with a higher degree of success than those who are assigned the task of memorizing an equal number of nonsense words. This supports the idea that you will be able to learn any type of material if you perceive it as meaningful in some way. When presented with a learning task, the first thing you can do to make your job easier is to organize the material mentally or on paper into meaningful wholes. For example, if you were going to learn how to do something like carpentry, car repair, making stained glass, or tailoring, you could organize your information as follows. Number 1. Tools or materials needed. Number 2. Basic procedures to be learned. Number 3. Results desired. And number 4. Special tips for working effectively, efficiently, and quickly. If you were to begin a crash course in basic conversational Spanish, you might organize what you need to know into survival skills having to do with basic greetings, eating, sleeping, restroom facilities, and directions. Later on, you may go to work on social amenities, expressions of opinion, and so on. Memory can also be aided by organizing material into some sort of logical pattern. If you are studying a novel or a play for an English course, you would not focus on remembering every detail at the expense of the overall theme and plot. Instead, you would remember the broadest concept, the theme, and then narrow your focus to the events that make up that theme, and go from there on to the other elements that emanate from the plot, such as characters, dialogue, setting, or symbolism. It is difficult to think of doing anything voluntarily without anticipating some kind of reward, however minuscule. You run 3 miles a day, and you look and feel better. You give a good performance or lecture, and you get applause. You contribute time and energy to a foster parents program, and your day is fulfilled by the spontaneous smile of one small child. In terms of reward, there is no difference between learning and these other activities. If it seems as if nothing will be gained from learning, the task is made more difficult. If you can anticipate a reward, your resolve to learn is reinforced and strengthened. Therefore, if you do not already expect a set reward, you will benefit by constructing your own payoff. A teacher studying for her master's degree promised herself the reward of a backpacking trip after she successfully completed her thesis. You might reward a week of concentrated study with a long visit with a friend or a ticket to a play or concert. Rewards do not have to be elaborate in order to have enough power to draw you through the learning process. For example, you may need to take some time to identify a reward you had not realized existed. Your own increased marketability, a heightened sense of pride, a skill transferable to another area, or the value of enhancing someone else's life. You know what kind of rewards will work for you. Dole them out to yourself and don't cheat. If you don't study the proposal to be discussed at your board meeting, don't give yourself a day on the tennis courts that you had promised yourself. A lengthy list of prescriptive drugs can inhibit your ability to learn. The best ways to determine if medication is contributing to your specific learning problem are to discuss the questions with the prescribing physician or ask your pharmacist to give you any available printed literature from the manufacturer of the prescription. This type of information is sometimes automatically dispensed with some drugs. Fear is an invisible but powerful force which can, if it is extreme, seem to erase volumes of material that you thought you had successfully committed to memory. The fear which obstructs learning is a prime candidate for hypnosis. By learning to relax, experience feelings of confidence, and cue yourself to succeed, you can diffuse a fearful situation. The cue can be in the form of a word or phrase which gives you moral support. You may say to yourself, "Excellence is the only possibility," or simply, "Highest score." With such a suggestion in your subconscious, you are fortified for success. To expect optimum results in your learning experience, you first need to deal with self-esteem and motivation. Without self-esteem, it would be exceedingly difficult to be highly motivated, and without strong motivation, the learning process suffers. Be sure you have examined these conditions before you set out to improve your learning. Now that you have pinpointed the factors that contribute to your particular learning problem and have created positive suggestions for changing that problem, you need to look at your overall objectives. These are the same for every person, regardless of the specific reasons for their learning difficulty. The objectives are, 1, to perceive the learning experience as an opportunity and to gain a positive attitude about it. 2, to change habits and procedures that are detrimental to the learning experience. And 3, to improve confidence and self-esteem. Approach learning with a positive attitude. A poor attitude toward learning can inhibit you from trying. If you feel that thorough learning is not really necessary and that you don't really need to apply yourself in order to succeed, then perhaps you are still the victim of some old, worthless programming that resides in your subconscious. If so, it needs to be banished. You may say to yourself, an athlete must learn how to move. He must learn the process of his sport before he can accomplish his feat. You are an athlete who is beginning the process of bettering your learning skills so that you may accomplish your goals. You can see yourself focusing, studying, concentrating daily. You are enthusiastic, eager to study because the results will be so powerful for you. Reprogram your subconscious to replace all destructive and detrimental habits with new successful habits and procedures. Your subconscious seems to love habits and patterns. And you may have noticed that your subconscious is not very discriminating. It would just as soon commit your time and energy to daydreaming over a second cup of morning coffee as it would to striking out for the library bright and early. For this reason, you want to counteract particular behavioral patterns and replace them with new ones, as beginning and ending at certain times for studying. Improve your confidence and self-esteem. If you feel that you are not worthy of being successful, or not a good learner, or you are not smart enough, then you will be prevented from reaching your goal painlessly. That is, you might be able to reach it, but you will be engaged in a tiring, torturous, uphill battle. You can achieve your goal more easily by fortifying your self-esteem and reconstructing your self-image. Tell yourself that you are confident of your abilities. You are intelligent and learn more quickly now because of all the learning you have accomplished in the past. You are talented. Just imagine how the athlete feels when he has played a perfect game, run the fastest race, or scored the most points. Imagine yourself as an accomplished athlete, successful, happy, and rewarded for your work and your consistency. You feel confident and you feel good about yourself. To relate a case study, Todd, a college student in his late 20s, had always applied himself and he had worked hard in college, yet he graduated with grades that did not reflect his intelligence or the time he spent studying. His papers were of high quality, and he participated effectively in discussions, but when Todd had to take an exam, he froze. He decided that he could not remember the material, that if he did remember it, he probably would remember it wrong, and that he probably would not interpret the questions correctly anyway. Todd convinced himself that every other student in the room knew more than he did. He stared at the back of students' heads in front of him and wondered how everyone else could know something he didn't know. Todd even had trouble passing his driver's exam because he was so anxious and afraid. And now he was preparing to take the MBA exam. He had studied thoroughly and had passed the practice exams quite easily, but he was afraid that his brain activity would be immobilized when the real tests came. Todd decided to use hypnosis to relax before and during the exam, to recall the correct information quickly and easily. He also used his own cue word that activated his post-hypnotic suggestions. On the day of the exam, Todd walked into the examination room, gave himself his cue, relaxed throughout the exam, and did so well that 9 months later he was sitting down to take his CPA exam with confidence and success. Your learning problems will be greatly aided by increasing self-esteem and motivation. As stressed previously, learning is very difficult without proper motivation, and motivation is closely related to self-esteem. If you treat these two as equals, you will be more likely to experience optimum learning. There is one fine point to remember as you reprogram your subconscious. Choose a time to stop studying as well as a time to begin. If you choose only a starting time, your subconscious may not signal you to stop, and you may experience a flow of energy that leads you far beyond your intended time limit. This could burn you out very quickly. Finally, there is one luxury you should consider having as you engage in any intense learning process. The luxury is a learning partner. This does not mean that you have to find someone with whom to study. It means that you could benefit from a learning associate. It will be helpful for you to interact with people who have the same goal and who are familiar with the same subject or who value the goal you are working to achieve. You can learn to support yourself and support others as well as you accomplish your learning goals and reap the rewards that you have set. This side of the tape is a self-hypnosis tape for memory and concentration and test-taking. Be sure that you're able to sit down or lie down as you listen to this tape and completely relax. And never listen to this side of the tape while you're driving a car or operating heavy machinery. So close your eyes and take a comfortable position. Because in order to relax, you must be in a relaxed position. Reach a state similar to the one you experience between being awake and drifting into natural sleep. Don't question, don't analyze. And above all, don't help me put you into hypnosis. Because the only part of you that can be hypnotized is the subconscious mind. And conscious efforts of the mind will only produce equal and opposite results. The intentional production of hypnosis depends upon the decreasing of organized brain activity. This can be done effectively by decreasing the input to the conscious mind. Eye closure or limitation of vision decreases input. The disregard of all other sounds but the sound of my voice decreases input. Relaxation of the body decreases the number of signals the mind is receiving from the muscles of the body. If you can be induced to stop thinking, there's a profound decrease in organized brain activity. Accept for a moment that only two things exist in the universe: the space occupied by your body and the sound of my voice. And focus your attention like the beam of a flashlight on the sound of my voice. And begin by relaxing the muscles of your feet. Let every muscle fiber let go. Become slack and loose, loose and limp, limp and numb, numb and relaxed. Feel all the tension and stress leaving the muscles of your feet. Continue with the muscles of your legs, feel them letting go, becoming numb and slack. Slack and detached, detached and soft, soft and benumbed. Feel your legs and feet becoming relaxed and warm. The muscles of your thighs are strong, and you relax them in identical manner as all the other muscles. Just let them rest. Eliminate even the tone of these muscles. Allow them to become slack and relaxed. Relaxed and limp. Limp and free and detached. Soft and loose. As you release all tension from this part of your body. Relax your conscious mind. As you release all tension and stress from the muscles of the body, and feel yourself begin to go deeper and deeper and deeper into a relaxed hypnotic state, deeper and deeper, just let go. The area of the hips is a constant source of tension and stress. Just let your hips let go, as if they were flattening out upon the surface on which they rest. Disconnect all the different muscles. Let them become flaccid and numb. Numb and slack. Slack and detached and limp as they let go and rest. Let your conscious mind rest too. Don't question or analyze. Just drift deeper and deeper and deeper into a state of mental relaxation. The muscles of your abdomen are constantly on the job of containing the viscera. This is a good opportunity to let them take a break and rest. So just let them become limp and slack. Let them feel free, detached and warm. As you relax the different muscles of the body and as they rest and relax, their requirements become greatly reduced and the internal organs will also rest. The rate of your breathing and heartbeat will slow down. Your breathing will become abdominal and shallow. All your organs are relaxing to the utmost as you drift into a more profound and deeper state of hypnosis. Let go and let yourself sink deeper and deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Feel the muscles of the small of your back following the same pattern of relaxing. Feel them becoming lax and limp and free. Feel them letting go. Rest your mind and sink deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Deeper and deeper. Relax the muscles of your chest and back. Allow all of them to become loose and slack. Slack and limp and numb. All tension and stress leaving this part of your body. As you relax new areas of the body, the ones we have already relaxed will continue to increase the relaxation to a point when we begin to become unaware of these parts of the body. Eventually, you will reach a state when you become pure mind and no body. Just let yourself go and drift one notch deeper into hypnosis. Deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Let your shoulders flatten out against the surface upon which they rest. Allow all the muscles to become limp. To release all tension and stress. To become numb and loose. Loose and slack and lax. Relaxed and detached, and then experience this feeling slowly flowing down to relax the muscles of your upper arms and through the elbows, to make all the muscles of your forearms numb and soft, soft and warm, as it continues through the wrists, to relax the muscles of the hands and fingers, all these fibers becoming numb and detached, free and soft, as you drift deeper and deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Continue by relaxing the muscles of your neck. Feel every one of these fibers letting go of all tension, becoming slack and heavy, becoming limp and numb, numb and soft and pliable, as you drift deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper into relaxed hypnosis. Just release and let things happen as they happen. Now we're going to relax the muscles of your scalp. Just feel these thousands of muscles becoming warm and loose. Feel them resting. Feel them becoming placid to a point where your scalp just feels like something that is only covering the back part of your skull, like a wig or a cap or hat. And you are reaching a state of total relaxation, drifting deeper and deeper into hypnosis, deeper and deeper, relaxed. Your face is like a mass of jelly-like substance. And as you relax the muscles of your forehead, the muscles of your cheeks and eyes, these parts become warm and soft, soft and numb, numb and limp, and slowly sink into that jelly-like mass. Let go and become more and more relaxed. Let the muscles of your nose, lips, and jaws follow the same procedures, and notice that they become lax and detached, detached and numb, as they also vanish into that jelly-like mass. Relax the muscles of your ears and feel them becoming loose and limp as they hang free and detached at the sides of your head. Just continue letting go entirely and drift deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Deep, relaxed hypnosis. And I want you to visualize as vividly as you can the scene I'm about to describe. You're walking along the beach, and it's mid-July, and it's very, very comfortable. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun has not yet begun to set, but it's getting low on the horizon. The sun is a golden, blazing yellow, the sky a brilliant blue, the sand a dazzling, glistening white in the sunlight. Feel the cold, wet, firm, hard-packed sand beneath your feet. Taste and smell the salt in the air. There's a residue of salt deposited on your lips from the ocean spray, and you can taste it if you lick your lips. Hear the beating of the waves, the rhythmic lapping to and fro, back and forth of the water against the shore. Hear the far-off cry of a distant gull as you continue to walk. And you are drifting deeper and deeper into hypnosis, sinking deeper and deeper and deeper. And you come to a sand dune, a mound of pure white sand. Covering the mound are bright yellow buttercups, deep pink moss roses. You sit down on its crest and look at the sea. The sea is like a mirror of silver reflecting the sun's rays, a mass of pure white light. And you are gazing intently into this light. As you continue to stare into the sun's reflection of the water, you begin to see flecks of violet, darting spots of purple intermingled with the silver everywhere. There is silver and violet. There's a violet line along the horizon, a violet halo around the flowers. And now the sun is beginning to set. With each movement, with each motion of the sun into the sea, you become deeper and deeper relaxed. The sky is slowly turning crimson, scarlet, pink, amber, gold, orange, as the sun sets. You are engulfed in a deep purple twilight of velvety blue haze. You look up into the night sky, and it's a brilliant starry night. The beating of the waves and the smell and taste of the salt, the sea, the water, the sky, and you feel yourself carried upward and outward into space, one with the universe. And now I'm going to count from 1 to 3, and with every count that I take, you are going to drift one notch deeper into a profound, relaxed, hypnotic trance. 1. Sinking deeper and deeper into hypnosis. 2. deeper and deeper. 3. Deep, relaxed hypnosis. And as I continue talking to you, you will let the sound of my voice increase the depth of your hypnotic trance. And it's possible for people to concentrate so strongly when they're reading or studying or working that they're completely unaware of things that happen around them. You've seen people like that. Perhaps you remember saying something to a person who was reading or working and he didn't hear you. And you know that such a concentration is possible. It's possible for you to concentrate like that. Perhaps you remember some time in your life when you were so interested in some one particular thing that you became oblivious to everything else. In your experience of learning to be hypnotized, you've developed a high degree of ability to concentrate your attention. Your attention is concentrated on me right now. Perhaps you are aware of things that are happening outside or around you, but they simply do not matter. You are concentrating. You already have the ability to concentrate when you get hypnotized. And you realize that you have this ability to concentrate, and you feel a sense of confidence in your ability to concentrate. You realize that if you can concentrate to this extent in going into hypnosis, you can concentrate on your work and your readings and your studies in exactly the same way. So from now on, when you wish to concentrate, get ready for the work that you're going to do. Get your book or books and writing materials or all the tools that you're going to need and have them all ready for the job to be done. Look at the clock or your watch and decide how long you wish to concentrate. Then say to yourself aloud 3 times the time at which you wish to break this concentrating. And write that time down on a piece of paper. For example, if it's 8:30 in the evening and you wish to study or write until 11 o'clock, get ready and then say to yourself aloud, 11, 11, 11, and write down 11 o'clock. And as you say those words, you will begin to concentrate. Your thoughts will start to narrow down to the job at hand. Your ears will become less sensitive to surrounding noises, and your eyes will be drawn to the work that you're about to do. Start working. Within the next few minutes, your attention increases until you are oblivious of your surroundings. In the next few minutes, the rest of the world seems to fade away, so that for you, there exists only the job at hand and you who are doing that job. The concentration rapidly becomes perfect and remains that way until the time that you've stated aloud. Your concentration is unbroken unless there's a real and necessary reason for you to attend to other things. Your concentration is continuous and perfect from a few minutes after you start working until the time you've set for yourself. Until the time comes that you've stated aloud, your thoughts are all directed to the job at hand. The outside world is far away, and your concentration is perfect, absolutely perfect, until the time that you've set for yourself. And the knowledge that you gain by reading and studying and working in this manner remains in your conscious memory much longer. As you read or study and work in this manner, you find your ability to remember facts and principles and details and theories and general trends increasing. You retain a perfect conscious memory of the material that you acquire in this way. And you also have the ability to remember things that you've previously forgotten. For your mind has an association pattern for everything that has happened to you. And it is possible for you to remember everything that you've perfectly known before. So now take yourself into the future and imagine yourself receiving the grade on the exam that makes you feel good, that makes you feel happy. Perhaps you can picture yourself hearing that grade from your instructor or reading it on a list or however you're going to get it. See yourself now feeling satisfied with what you've done. Now your subconscious mind knows what you're aiming for and here's how you're going to get there. Make yourself just before the exam. Relax and do something that is freeing for you. There's no anxious, maladaptive attempts to cram little bits of information into your mind. You know that you've studied as much as you need to, and you trust yourself to do your best, knowing that trusting your subconscious mind will help you to let that information flow. It's just before the exam now, and you're just about to head toward your classroom or examination room. You feel some mild stimulation like before any challenging, exciting event. You're looking forward to matching your wit with the questions that will appear. In a way, it's like a game, and you're really prepared for it. And now you're walking toward the building. Feel yourself walking, see the scenery, hear the sounds, perhaps other voices around you. And you're avoiding being around those people who may bring you down before the exam. You're entering the room where the exam is to be given. You're seated at your seat or desk, and you're looking and you can see your pencils and your answer booklets, whatever you're going to need for the test. And you're looking through the test now from start to finish. You know the amount of time that's available. And if there's a limit on the amount of time you have available for each question, you let yourself balance the number of minutes you want to spend on each one. And now you begin. Begin with one of the questions that you can answer. You're still relaxed and calm. Feel yourself doing this. See and feel the image as I suggested. And while you're answering this question, perhaps the easiest one, your subconscious mind is working on the others. If it's an oral test, you're speaking smoothly, just as if it were a written test and you were writing smoothly. If you're transcribing information, you feel that information just flow through you. And swiftly, the ideas and answers and words just flow out. You're being creative and at the same time reproducing the material that you've learned, just letting it flow through you. And as you write, you're focused on each word and each sentence as you write it. You don't get too far ahead or far behind. You stay right on task. And you find that the information is available to you right at the moment you need it, especially with the multiple choice and true, false, and short answer questions. You're focused just on the question you're taking, and at the right moment when you've read the question all the way through, and when you've looked at all the possibilities for answers, at that moment it just pops into your head what you want. You feel a charge of thrill and excitement as you do this. And from time to time, there are those things which you have not studied, and those things you have studied, but the answer's not present for you at the moment on a conscious level. You just skip over these and come back to them later. If it's an essay or other material that needs to be organized, you're feeling the information flow to you as you write an outline and as you refine the outline. And you're feeling relaxed and you're not being trapped by details. And as you're organizing the material, the details and small bits of information you need to know come back to you as you need them. And most of all, as you picture yourself there, there's no self-criticism, there's no anxiety. You're just letting things flow. The test is almost over now, and you've finished a bit before the end, and you relax right there in your seat before even leaving. You count from 10 down to 0. Just as you do any time during the test when you feel the tension level has reached a point where it's not adaptive. You simply close your eyes and picture yourself relaxed and count from 10 to 0. And relax yourself very calm. And then count from 1 to 10 again, and as you open your eyes, you're much more relaxed and really ready to continue. Your mind is clearer and more focused. And now you've finished the exam. You relax for a few minutes before leaving because you want your mind to know that you're safe and comfortable right there in the room. And as you leave, you're discussing your exam only if it feels good to you. Otherwise, you're going somewhere to treat yourself, to read a book or novel or job or walk or swim. And now project forward into the future and see yourself getting the results on your exam you knew they'd be good. But you're surprised they're even better than you thought. In a moment, I'm going to awaken you by counting from 20 to 1. If this is your bedtime and time for you to drift off into sleep, you'll ignore the following suggestions and enjoy a wonderful night of deep sleep, waking up calm and refreshed and relaxed. But if it's time in your day for you to get on with other activities, you will now listen up to my voice as I count. 20, 15, 10. Your eyes wanting to open and your body wanting to stretch. 5, and 1. Wide awake, fully refreshed, relaxed, feeling wonderful in every way.